The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
At work in your life. This is Dr. Derek Greer. For more, go to gracechurchva.org. And as always, live big.
Portions of this edition of The Don Kroah Show were pre-recorded for broadcast at this time.
The Don Kroah Show is brought to you in part by Passport Auto Group Stores. As an essential business during COVID-19, Passport is ready to meet your car buying or servicing needs and do it with complete safety and security from one of their 9 convenient locations. Whether it's a video walkthrough of a vehicle you're interested in or purchasing a vehicle either online or in the comfort and safety of your own home, check out the superb services waiting for you at PassportAuto.com. That's PassportAuto.com.
It's time for The Don Kroah Show, right here from the WAVA-FM Passport Auto Group Studios. Now, The Don Kroah Show.
Hey, how you doing, folks? Hello there. Hello and welcome to The Don Kroah Show. You got it, Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 each afternoon. We do get together and talk about things going on in the world. Talk with some of the folks who know what they're talking about, even if I may not. We try to bring the experts in on some of these important topics and give you a chance to learn. We learn together that way. And, of course, we're also right in the middle of a very exciting campaign with Preborn. Our goal to provide 1,200 ultrasounds this month in the Sanctity of Human Life Month through the great ministry of Preborn. We'll give you an update on that in just a few minutes and tell you what's coming up. And speaking of what's coming up, Dr. John Eibner, a remarkable man of God and a longtime champion of religious and human rights issues and freedoms around the world. He is, of course, with Christian Solidarity International USA. And in just a few minutes, he's going to join me with an update on the ongoing, though sadly not much noticed, genocide. It seems just terrible juxtaposition. Ongoing, but largely ignore genocide. They don't fit together, do they? But sadly, that's happening in the region of Armenia and, of course, other places as well. So he's going to be talking with us about the latest developments in this genocide against Christians in the Armenian region by Islamic forces in that region. Also, later this hour, national security expert Kyle Scheidler of the Center for Security Policy will join us to talk about last Wednesday's assault on our nation's capital, and I'm sure he's got some very useful insights and observations, both as to how it happened and maybe shouldn't have, and what should have been done that wasn't, but also where to from here, because we are, this is my opinion, I'll find out if Kyle has a similar sentiment in a half hour or so, but it seems to me this is a tailor-made moment for those on the radical left and those who want to abridge and truncate our freedoms as Americans to jump in and say, aha, this is a reason why we need to cut you people out of this, that, and the other, whether it's Facebook or Twitter or whatever. You get my point. We'll talk about it more in a little while with Kyle Scheidler. Next hour, on behalf of 21 Wilberforce, usually on Mondays at this time, we try to have a report on human and religious rights, freedoms, and issues there too. With folks from 21 Wilberforce, and of course, one of their stellar representatives and one of their original founders of the thing is our good friend, Congressman Frank Wolf. He was there, I believe, from the beginning, and he is going to come on for a few minutes at the top of next hour and give us an update on, again, genocide, Christian genocide, where, in this case, still ongoing, in the brutalized country of Nigeria, West Africa. So those are some of the things that are coming up. And then last but certainly not least, a lot of sincere and honest Americans have just not been sure what to believe about COVID-19. I mean, from where it started, how it got here, to how it's being handled since in all these past months. Well, Dr. Jane Orient is a very well-known, highly respected physician, and she, in fact, is, among other things, executive director of the Association of American Physicians and Surgeons, the AAPS. She's been on the show in times past. Always an honor to have her. She's going to join us next hour. She says this: manipulating the news is a standard propaganda technique for molding public behavior. Today, it may be called fake news, and it can be very hard to sort out the facts from the cacophony of conflicting statements on COVID-19. And she says what we need is unfiltered news on this vitally important topic. So we're going to get her take on this. And this is another of those things. I've watched it. I've seen it in the media. Perhaps you who track these things have as well. Anyone who is strayed, I'm going to say, from the party line this last year, whether he be a well-qualified medical doctor or whatever, who has gone online or on Twitter or on one of the platforms and taken a stance that's in any way out of line with the current offerings, if you will, from Dr. Fauci and those who are speaking to this from a governmental position. You only hear from them once or twice, and then they're gone. So effectively, there's been a lot of censoring going on to the point where a lot of Americans say, I don't know what to believe. Now, none of us in our right mind say there's not a problem. None of us say, no, big deal, don't worry about it. No, don't wear your mask. Nobody's saying that I know of, or nor would I honor or respect. But we do feel like we're being sold some kind of bill of goods with all the various truncations of freedom, the abridgments of our freedoms on a pretext. So anyway, she is the one that's qualified to speak to this in a way I never can. Dr. Jane Orient will be joining me next hour. I just wanted you to know those things are coming up. And as I said at the outset, we are still on the front end of a very exciting campaign with the goal of providing as many ultrasounds as we possibly can to our crisis pregnancy centers in this DMV area. They are the people who benefit, because what you do when you give $28 and buy an ultrasound or pay for an ultrasound through our program, our campaign here, you are literally putting that tool in the hands of one of our neighbors in one of the crisis pregnancy centers in Maryland, Virginia, or in the district, which enables them to turn around and give it free of charge to an expectant girl, expectant mother, who really needs now more than ever to have the right information, the full truth about her pregnancy. And so that's why we push it all this month, and we are happy to do so together. Our goal, as I said, 1,200 ultrasounds. That's a $33,600 goal. You say, wow, that's a big one. Yes, it is, but you've done it before, and I have no doubt we'll do it again. Right now, we've received $5,367 of monies toward the ultrasound campaign. That's 192 ultrasounds. So we still need 1,008 ultrasounds to be provided for, and that's where you continue to come in with your gifts. By the way, our $8,000 matching fund grant with Passport, of course, $5,367 of that has been matched. But that means $2,633 is waiting right now, to double your gift. That $28 becomes two ultrasounds. You get the point. You can do the math. Whatever you give right now is going to be doubled when you call 833-850-BABY. That's 833-850-2229. One more time, 833-850-2229, or online at WAVA.com. Click on the banner or enter the keyword baby.
Here's Dr. Robert Jeffress with today's Pathway Minute.
Today we're going to answer the intriguing question, will heaven be the same for every Christian? The answer to that is no. Not every Christian will have the same experience in heaven. God's justification exempts us from God's condemnation, but it doesn't exempt us from God's evaluation of our life. Now, that's what the judgment seat of Christ is going to be. It's going to be an honest evaluation of everything we've done, whether it is good, lasting, eternal, or worthless. Luke 8:17, Jesus said, "For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and will come to light."
Pathway Minute is produced by Pathway to Victory. To access the Bible teaching of Dr. Robert Jeffress, go to ptv.org.
In Psalm 139, King David said, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Folks, every baby conceived, whatever the circumstances, is special to its creator and deserves the chance to live and come to know God and his plan for that baby. But sadly, for multiplied millions, that chance never comes. However, your gift of an ultrasound can change that as you join us in our campaign with Preborn to provide as many ultrasounds to our local pregnancy centers as we can so that they can help that expectant mother choose life for her baby. $28 provides one ultrasound, $140 gives five, $280 gives 10. Just call 833-850-BABY with your most generous gift now, would you? 833-850-2229. That's 833-850-2229. Or you can give online at WAVA.com.
W. Somerset Maugham, who wrote of human bondage, once said, "It seems that my heart had some deep ancestral craving for God, which my reason would not allow." Hi, this is Lon Solomon, and Somerset Maugham is right. There is a deep craving for God inside of each one of us. God placed it there when he created us so that we would seek him through faith in Jesus Christ. The problem is, as Maugham noted, that far too many of us intellectualize this craving away. Be careful that you don't allow yourself to be educated beyond your intelligence. Not a sermon, just a thought.
For more information on Not a Sermon, Just a Thought, you can check out our website at notasermon.com. That's notasermon.com.
Your business is ready for a reboot, a recharge. The way our companies operate has changed. Adapting to the changes hasn't been easy, but never more important to succeed. Many of the digital resources available have helped overcome obstacles your business is facing, but are you using the full potential of every one of them? That's where Salem Surround can help. Your business needs to use digital tools more than ever to stay in touch with customers who are making buying decisions for the new year. Will they consider or even know about you? The marketing team at Salem Surround gives you the tools needed to stand out and be visible to current and potential customers online right now looking for what you do. We'll design a plan that targets and surrounds customers with proven marketing strategies. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your marketing plan and see how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at SurroundDC.com. SurroundDC.com. Connecting you with new customers.
The Don Crow Show on WAVA. Well, I think it was about 2 months ago when I last spoke with my guest this hour about a headline that declared the Armenian genocide is not over. It must be stopped. Dr. John Eibner is CEO of Christian Solidarity International and director of CSI's Middle East program. He joins us again to talk about this deadly assault on Christians in that region, which is by no means ended or even lessened. In fact, he points out one town that has apparently effectively been cleansed of its Armenian Christian population just in the past 2 months. Dr. Eibner, welcome, my friend. Thank you for taking time to join me and talk about this.
Thank you so much for having me back. It's always a pleasure to be with you and your wonderful audience.
Well, for sake of many in our audience who don't know much about this long history of conflict and attacks, I know we did this last time, but just take a moment to give us a backstory as to how volatile this whole situation has been for Armenian Christians for some time, and then move us forward, if you would, into what's happening now.
Well, Armenians in that part of the world, what today is now Turkey or the state of Armenia, Nagorno-Karabakh, this part of the Middle East, they have been under assault for centuries. Armenians have been subjected to massacres. There was the great Armenian genocide just about 100 years ago that virtually eliminated the Armenian community in what is today Turkey. And that process of religious cleansing has gone on. It didn't stop with the end of that great genocide. In the 1990s, there was another assault against them. And then just as you mentioned, last autumn, at the end of September into October, into early November, there was another onslaught, and they were ethnically cleansed, religiously cleansed from much of their territory in the area called Nagorno-Karabakh. So the great Armenian cathedral in the city of Shushi is now empty, damaged. The Armenian population has gone. It stood there forlorn over Christmas. And it's an open question. Will Armenians ever be able to return to their town, Shushi, and worship the Lord there in their cathedral?
And you mentioned in your article that this city you just mentioned is at the center of a long-running geopolitical conflict, what Kipling called or dubbed the Great Game. Tell us about that. What's that describing?
All right, well, this is the competition between empires. Mm. It goes back to the 19th century for control of this territory that runs in between Russia and India to the south. Turkey, this is territory that is predominantly Muslim, that is predominantly Turkic, but there are Armenians and other Christian communities there. And the powers of the world in the 19th century, it was England and Russia. Today, it's an area of competition between the United States, Russia, Iran, and China. And all of these powers are vying for influence, power, and ascendancy, domination of this energy-rich territory. There's great mineral wealth. There's oil resources in the Caspian Sea. And the competition for it continues, and the Christian communities that are there pay the price.
And is there any reaction or response of any sort from either any of the European nations or Britain or the U.S. itself? What's our status in terms of trying to address this crisis?
Well, not really very much is happening. During the crisis, there were some noises made, the ritual calls for peace and that negotiation is better than war. I think President Trump referred to the Armenians as nice people. Same kinds of things went on in London. But the real powers in the region, the people that can make things happen on the ground, are the Russians and the Turks. And, of course, they are part of the competition for the area. But as we speak, the presidents of Armenia and the adversary Azerbaijan are today in Moscow meeting with President Trump because of this is in Russia's traditional sphere of influence. Russia has been the traditional protector of Christians. Russia has an interest in being in the area and stability there. And so Russia is, of course, taking the lead in trying to, they've sent in peacekeepers to stop the killing. Okay, now they have a responsibility for trying to find some kind of political settlement that will last. And good luck to them to try to find a solution that will guarantee the survival of the Christian community there. And what many people may not realize, Don, is that Armenia was the first Christian nation on this planet. Mm. It was the first nation as a whole, collectively, to turn to Christ and accept Christ as the Lord, the King of Kings.
What?
This is happening, and hardly anybody in the U.S., in the Western world, in the what was once the Christian world, really notices.
And would you agree that, John, that the real, there's some onus on at least the American media and the world media for that matter, because obviously stories that get focused get some kind of attention, but we have to hunt for stories like this or come to folks such as yourself who are on the ground, sort of on the ground in these areas trying to help and bring relief. But I noticed in your column that you said last year the Prime Minister of the UK promised to, quote, provide protection for vulnerable Christian communities and to, again, quoting, place this duty at the heart of the priorities of UK foreign policy. But it's all just words, apparently, huh?
Well, when it comes to the crunch, it seems to be. There have been similar words from Washington about defending persecuted Christians and so on. These are very fine sentiments and so on. But it really, when it comes to it, we don't see the action that is necessary to protect, or we don't see the action that is necessary to get the media to speak about it. The media, for the large part, feeds, when it comes to foreign news stories, feeds off of what statesmen say. Mm-hmm. If the president of the United States speaks about it, whomever that president may be, it will be there in the media. If the U.S. Secretary of State makes a big statement, it will be there in the media, with the same with the British Prime Minister and so on. And we have not heard these statements. We have not seen, you know, Western governments, the United States, Britain, France, you know, leadership speaking out. We haven't heard of Christian leadership speaking out. There are very prominent Christian leaders in the United States who are able to command the attention of the media. We haven't heard them on this issue. So if we don't hear them on this issue, it's not surprising that the media doesn't have much to say about it. They are the ones who the media largely covers.
On that last point, and I've talked about that with your colleague and good friend Frank Wolf. In fact, he'll be with us next hour on the issue of Nigeria genocide. But how do you explain this deafening silence on the part, as you've just mentioned, of some of our most noteworthy and well-known Christian leaders on these issues that represent the body of Christ around the world and for whom we are supposed to be the voice?
Well, all I can say is that people have other interests, other things that are more important to them and their ministries than the plight of the persecuted Christians, Armenian Christians, or you mentioned Christians in Nigeria, and of course you have a great interest there and have featured their plight. But our politicians, our statesmen, many of our church leaders simply have other interests that they focus on, other interests that keep their ministries alive, that keep that fulfill their goals, and this doesn't simply fit in with the their plans. It fits in with CSI's plans. That's what we exist to do. That's why I'm speaking with you in the way that I am. But there simply is not. There's even less of a consciousness now than there was 100 years ago within the American Christian community of the importance of standing in solidarity with persecuted Christians abroad. 100 years ago, every American, virtually every half-educated American Christian, would have known about the Armenian genocide. There were big fundraising efforts. The United States Congress raised a fund. There were ticker tape parades with celebrities raising funds to help the victims of the Armenian genocide.
In this last moment,
just a few generations ago, at a time when there wasn't the media that we speak about, when information didn't travel as it did, Yet that was there was a magnificent response of the United States, United States Christians at the grassroots levels, because their leadership informed them. Their leadership led them in the right direction.
Final quick question. What are some things that could be done, should be done in ways to combat this? What are some actions that could be taken that even we might encourage our members of Congress and our current president, for that matter, to do?
Well, we, at the higher political level, we want to encourage the United States to work for stability in the area. To right now, say the Russians are taking the lead, that's fine. Cooperate with the Russians to protect the Christians. The Russians have an interest in that. But at the grassroots level, what can your listeners do today that are driving home in their cars?
Mm-hmm.
They can ask us about this issue. Why haven't we heard about this? If those who are listening feel that this is an important issue, it's right to ask in the first line their pastors, their bishops, their whatever faith community leader may be. Please inform us. Please keep us posted. We want to know. We want to help. What can we do? Because if we cannot find sufficient interest in our own Christian leadership, why should we actually expect the President of the United States to do something?
Well said. Well said. John, let's stay on this together. Thank you, my friend, for being available. And let me know of any new development you'd like to talk about before we get back to you. All right?
Thanks so much, and greetings to Frank.
I'll give them to him. Thank you, John. All right.
All the best. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Dr. John Eidner, CEO of Christian Solidarity International, Director of CSI's Middle East Program. The website for his organization is csi.usa.org. csi.usa.org.
All the online Christmas shopping this year had me too quick to double-click. Just too easy to spend money. I had a checkout cart with 5 golden rings, 4 calling birds, and 3 chia pets. If you, too, let your Christmas cheer spread a bit too far and you're tired of being stretched financially, tired of the constant credit card stress, and you're curious if a refinance or cash-out refinance would help, know that we're a faith and family mortgage team committed to WAVA. It sounds so radio commercial to say, but it really is true that mortgage rates have gone from historically low levels to somehow even a bit lower as of late, leaving millions of Americans with the potential opportunity to either lower your monthly payment a couple hundred bucks or cash out a chunk of equity that's sitting in your home to use for life. If you'd like to see what that would look like for you, we are United Faith Mortgage.
We pay your appraisal fees up to $500.
UMC Mortgage Company, Melville, New York. NMLS number 1330. NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Refinance. Total refinancing charges may be higher for life of loan.
The next time you could use a pick-me-up, head over to Godvine.com for uplifting and inspirational videos that you'll truly love. Join the millions of Christians from around the world who watch and share Godvine videos each day. They know that Godvine videos are specially chosen to bring joy and share the love of God and the wonder of His creations. For the very best Christian videos, visit us today at Godvine.com.
The Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes is back. Every time the score changes, someone wins $50,000. Plus, 2 grand prize winners will win $500,000 they could use toward their dream home. See rules and enter for free at RocketMortgageSquares.com. Rocket Mortgage, official mortgage sponsor of Super Bowl 55.
No purchase necessary. Legal residence of the 50 U.S. and D.C. of age of majority. Ends February 4th. Licensed in all 50 states and MLS number 3030. The NFL is not sponsored promotion in any way.
Happy New Year. This is Karen Holloway with Lone Star Transfer. If you felt like booking your timeshare was difficult in the past, you know it's been almost impossible over this last year. With our A-plus rating with the BBB, our clients are eager to let you know Lone Star Transfer is the company you can trust. Give Lone Star Transfer a call today to receive a free, no-obligation consultation at 844-284-4860 or online at LoneStarTransfer.com.
This report is sponsored by Liberty Mutual Insurance, where you only pay for what you need. On the Capitol Beltway, we have a new accident on the outer loop where you want to exercise some caution. Between Landover Road approaching John Hanson Highway, right now you will be crawling as you're coming from Central Avenue due to that incident. Inner loop also jam with associated congestion due to that collision. Sluggish from John Hanson Highway approaching Landover Road. We're also trying to recover from an accident in Virginia where you'll find your right lanes blocked. Coming into Fredericksburg, you will be crawling as you're making away from Courthouse Road and approaching the Rappahannock River Bridge. Nobody should have to pay for one size fits all insurance. Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance so you only pay for what you need. Customize and save with Liberty Mutual Insurance. I'm Taryn Galbraith. Traffic on WAVA.
We'll see mainly clear skies for tonight with a low of 31. Mostly sunny tomorrow. Tomorrow's high 48. A star-studded sky tomorrow night with a low of 31. Wednesday will be mostly sunny. Wednesday will reach a high of 52. Thursday, partly sunny skies. Expect a high Thursday of 52. With the AccuWeather forecast, I'm Drew Shannon.
Lives change here. 105.1 FM WAVA.
I love you guys. I listen to you. I tell you about almost 24 hours a day. Thank you so much.
Thank you for what you do. You're a wonderful station. God bless you. WAVA.
I just want to thank WAVA for your ministry throughout the days.
I am extremely grateful for WAVA. I just want to let you know what an impact it definitely made. Thank you.
105.1 FM, WAVA.
The Don Kroah Show on WAVA. As the nation continues to deal with and try to process last Wednesday, a deadly assault on the Congressional and other office buildings here in the Capitol, my guest this hour observed that what began in the upbeat carnival atmosphere of President Trump's political rallies ended in tragedy with the deaths of four people and the disruption of the joint session of Congress, where Electoral College votes were being counted. Joining me to talk more about it, Kyle Scheidler, Director and Senior Analyst for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism for the Center for Security Policy, CSP, one of our favorite spots, by the way, on the web, centerforsecuritypolicy.org. Kyle, thank you for joining me. Welcome to the show. It's an honor to have you join us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Now, there are those who would have us believe that this whole thing was caused by President Trump's own rhetoric, that was the or one of the root causes, and that secondly, it was simply spontaneous, just happened to happen, no forethought on anybody's part that this was going to occur. What's your assessment of those aspects that are being claimed?
Well, I think both of them are wide of the mark. If you watched, as I did, multiple live streams of the event as it took place, one could see individuals within the crowd, clearly moving towards police barricades with a plan, with intention, right? Now, to be clear, we're talking about a very small group of people overall compared to the hundreds of thousands of people that were in D.C. that day. But we are talking about specific people who had ensured that they were the first ones to reach the Capitol because that was where the protest was intended to march. And then ensured that when they did, there was violence between them and the Capitol Police. And I think it's important for us to draw a distinction between those individuals and the larger group of people, many of whom had no visual on the Capitol itself and had no idea what was going on. And so we have these very disparate images between those clashing with police and those later entering the Capitol building, sort of wandering about confused. There's a famous picture that's now on the social media of the people moving through Statuary Hall while staying between the roped guides. So clearly there's sort of two different things happening in this space at the same time. And to the extent that we conflate those two things, A, I think we're going to make it harder to get to the bottom of what really happened here, who is responsible, and hold them responsible for the violence. And two, you are convincing a whole bunch of people who were simply in a city to express their First Amendment rights that they're going to be treated like terrorists. And that's not a positive step going forward.
And what about the president's own remarks prior to the rally and then subsequent? How do you assess what he said and what he Twittered and whether it had any real relationship to what happened?
I don't think it did. One, because, as I said, I assessed that this was an event that was planned to take place regardless of what the president said. And two, if you look at what the president said, he called for the protests of going to the Capitol to be peaceful explicitly. And he issued no words of violence or encouraging violence. Now, we have laws in this country to prevent the incitement to violence, but they are very specific as to what qualifies, and nothing the president said would meet that high standard or even a moderate standard.
Kyle, talk about the profound, it seems to me, hypocrisy and inconsistency that all last summer we had federal buildings across the country being torched, being attacked. We had people dying. We had buildings being burned to the ground. We had parts of cities being confiscated, taken over. And yet there was never the outrage on the part of the media itself or those on the left over these issues. They were just expressing themselves.
Well, you will recall that Tom Cotton tried to write an op-ed in the New York Times calling what was going on in places like Portland, where federal courthouses were under siege for over 100 days, an insurrection and urging the president to call out the Insurrection Act. Mm-hmm. And, of course, that was the worst thing that the people at the New York Times and other members of the left had ever heard. And they pulled that down his op-ed and were just appalled by it. But look how quickly politicians on the left were ready to use terms like insurrection, coup, sedition. Sedition was the word of choice for President-elect Joe Biden over an incident which, I mean, certainly you could call it a violent disturbance. You might even call it a riot. But was it an insurrection? Was it a coup? Clearly not.
All right, let's take a break and come back. We have much more to share. Kyle Scheidler with me, Director, Senior Analyst for Homeland Security and Counterterrorism for the Center for Security Policy. That's their website, centerforsecuritypolicy.org. We want to talk more about this with an expert. We'll be right back.
This is Dan Sexton, pastor of Calvary Chapel, and I want to invite you to listen to our radio ministry, Ring of Truth, here on WAVA Monday through Friday at 11 p.m. and Saturday evenings at 7:30. If you live in the Columbia, Maryland area and you don't have a church home, please join us Sundays at 9 or 11 a.m. For more information, visit us online at calvaryec.com.
Digital marketing is a big part of just about every business. It's everywhere. Is your business using it to your advantage? You could be losing sales by the second. Salem Surround can help you. We give you all the right tools to surround your target audience and turn website visitors into leads. A full-service digital agency, providing you with all your marketing under one roof. Contact Salem Surround. Learn more at surrounddc.com. Surrounddc.com. Connecting you with new customers.
I'm Jim Chesko with Your Money Now. With some of the weakness tied to concerns about heightened regulation of big technology companies, stocks retreated today. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 89 points, the S&P 500 eased 25, and the tech-heavy NASDAQ Composite slid 165, or 1.25%. As it looks for a new hosting service, the social media platform Parler has reportedly sued Amazon after the tech giant last Friday stopped hosting the public message platform popular with supporters of President Trump. News of the lawsuit was first reported by the Wall Street Journal, which says the effective disappearance of Parler shows the growing breadth and effective efforts by big technology companies to restrict content they label as dangerous after last week's mob attack on the U.S. Capitol. In connection with the restructuring of its business in South America, Ford Motor announced today it will end manufacturing operations in Brazil, closing three plants there. It'll continue to operate various non-manufacturing facilities in Brazil and will still make vehicles in Argentina and Uruguay. That's Your Money Now.
What are you doing to keep your nose clean? After all, the nose is your body's air filter, the first line of defense against airborne diseases. I'm Martin Hoke, and I invented Navage. the powered suction nose cleaner. Navage cleans your nose by flushing out allergens, mucus, dust, and germs, including dangerous infectious germs. So with all the horrible stuff in the air, now's the perfect time to join more than a million Americans who use Navage. It has over 30,000 online reviews averaging 4.7 stars. Why? Because Navage is easy to use. It's inexpensive, all-natural, drug-free and safe, and most important, it works. Think about it. You wash your hands every day. Maybe it's time to clean your nose, too. Breathe better, sleep deeper, feel and be healthier. Online at Navage.com and at Target, CVS, Walgreens, Bed Bath, and Rite Aid. Navage, N-A-V-A-G-E. Clean nose, healthy life.
Your business is ready for a reboot, a recharge. The way our companies operate has changed. Adapting to the changes hasn't been easy, but never more important to succeed. Many of the digital resources available have helped overcome obstacles your business is facing, but are you using the full potential of every one of them? That's where Salem Surround can help. Your business needs to use digital tools more than ever to stay in touch with customers who are making buying decisions for the new year. Will they consider or even know about you? The marketing team at Salem Surround gives you the tools needed to stand out and be visible to current and potential customers online right now looking for what you do. We'll design a plan that targets and surrounds customers with proven marketing strategies. Contact Salem Surround for a free evaluation of your marketing plan and see how we can help place your advertising message in front of today's consumers. Learn more at SurroundDC.com. SurroundDC.com. Connecting you with new customers.
Don Kroll Show, WAVA, Kyle Scheidler with me from the Center for Security Policy. And Kyle, as we continue talking about how to process this whole debacle that happened and what part of it's being overblown and what part of it's not being addressed really effectively at all, is there any evidence yet that's been ascertained as to the possible presence of members of Antifa and BLM, perhaps a small cadre that got in and kind of hijacked this, what was intended to be a very peaceful gathering?
Well, I think clearly evidence suggests that members of Antifa were present during the rally itself. We had social media showing that they were taking pictures of people who were present during the rally. This is the kind of thing that they typically do so that they can then target and dox their opponents. There was at least one case where an individual from Utah was identified as a known Antifa BLM activist who had taken part in a number of violent riots in that state. Who was present and identified himself as being present on Capitol Hill. The New York Post also had an article with a law enforcement source saying that they were aware of at least two individuals associated with Antifa who had come from the New York area to participate in the event. All that said, I don't see any evidence that Antifa was primarily responsible for the events on the Capitol. Although, as I said, it's pretty clear that they were at least present and taking some level of action.
On that latter point, I think it should be said, I think it. This is my sentiment, just because someone, and I'm going to try to couch this properly as to how I mean it, just because someone's an avid, if not rabid, Trump supporter doesn't mean they represent all the other Trump supporters. In other words, in a group that large, we saw there were some who probably really are, to the extreme, Trump supporters, a couple of them part of the havoc that was wreaked. But I think it's extremely disingenuous and unfair to target that whole massive gathering with those few who came maybe with their own agenda. What do you think?
No, I think that's exactly right. As I said in my opening remarks, I think it, on the one hand, it makes it harder for us to narrow down who was actually responsible and who was playing a really violent role. And then it also makes people who were engaged in a First Amendment protected activity, participating in a rally that was headlined by the President of the United States, a more normal activity you could not think of, and you're branding them as terrorists. This is frankly dangerous. If you give people the notion that they can't participate in the political process in a normal way without being sidelined, branded extremists, and so on.
Which is a greater threat, do you think, to the country, the nation at large, Antifa or the white supremacist movement?
I believe it's Antifa, and for the following reason. One, the U.S. government and the federal government and federal law enforcement is exceptionally good at tracking, identifying, and arresting, when necessary, white supremacist and neo-Nazi types. They excel at this, and they always have. On the other hand, we've seen they have been utterly ineffectual in dealing with Antifa. We have seen local government and state governments in places like Portland, where they have been actively pro-Antifa and prohibited law enforcement from taking aggressive stances to prevent violence from Antifa. So, and frankly, you have a number of individuals on Capitol Hill in the Democratic caucus who refuse to admit that Antifa even exists and or essentially praise them for their activities. So I consider all of that makes Antifa more dangerous than white supremacists. That doesn't say that we shouldn't deal with both threats as they appear. We certainly should. But when you're talking about how dangerous a threat is, I think it's important to consider how widespread the ideology is and what kind of political support it has.
Would you agree also, before we take this last break, Kyle, that the media's capitalization of these events last week, quite different from what they did in terms of coverage of the riots this past summer, which were really largely at the hands of the Antifa movement?
Absolutely. I mean, this is where you had coined the fiery but mostly peaceful protest.
Mm.
You had media organizations which literally changed their definition of the word riot to avoid using it when describing these Antifa BLM actions. So, yes, the media was complicit in allowing this sort of leftist violence to go unchecked. And then, of course, we see the double standard with the events last week.
Come back for a couple of more minutes with my guest, Kyle Scheidler, Homeland Security and Counterterrorism official with the Center for Security Policy. He's the director and senior analyst in those areas at centerforsecuritypolicy.org. Check them out. We'll be right back.
Do you think you can change the world? So do we. At Regent University, we offer 135 online and on-campus degrees in high-demand fields such as business, healthcare, cybersecurity, nursing, and more. Recognized as a top national university by U.S. News & World Report, Regent will prepare you to excel in your career and make a difference. Join our distinguished alumni leading the way in boardrooms, classrooms, courtrooms, operating rooms, and more. Earn your degree online or at our beautiful Virginia Beach campus with flexible hours to fit your busy schedule. Changing the world starts at Regent University. Visit regent.edu/learn more.
The 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is still at the lowest level in 50 years. I'm Mark Livingstone with Cornerstone First Financial, and it's now more important than ever to work with a friend you can trust. As a mortgage broker and lender, we can guarantee to meet or beat any competitor on this very station, or Cornerstone will pay your mortgage for an entire year. Some restrictions do apply, but call now at 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or online at cornerstonefirst.com. Listen, these rates will not be this low forever. And when the pandemic is over, it's the housing industry that will bring the people out of this and bring the economy back. Do yourself a favor and call the only company that delivers what it promises, not some window rate with a bunch of points attached. 202-625-1221. That's 202-625-1221 or cornerstonefirst.com.
In Psalm 139, King David said, "You created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." Folks, every baby conceived, whatever the circumstances, is special to its creator and deserves the chance to live and come to know God and his plan for that baby. But sadly, for multiplied millions, that chance never comes. However, your gift of an ultrasound can change that as you join us in our campaign with Preborn to provide as many ultrasounds to our local pregnancy centers as we can so that they can help that expectant mother choose life for her baby. $28 provides one ultrasound, $140 gives five, $280 gives 10. Just call 833-850-BABY with your most generous gift now, would you? 833-850-2229. That's 833-850-2229. Or you can give online at WAVA.com.
I hate to hear this phrase. That's how I was raised.
Dr. Tony Evans says nothing in our past should hold us back from God's plans for our future.
So if you just gonna stay where you are and accept things as they are, you will never discover what God may have already set up for you for a new opportunity.
Reversing the consequences of our past, all this week on The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans.
Weekdays at 3 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. on WAVA.
Lives change here. 105.1 FM WAVA.
I enjoy your programming. It's very inspirational. Keep up the good work. God bless you all.
I'm so incredibly grateful for WAVA. I have it on in the bedroom, in the living room, in my car. It is so refreshing.
What a blessing. So many of your programs have been to me. May God bless you and thank you very much.
105.1 FM WAVA.
The next time you could use a pick-me-up, head over to Godvine.com for uplifting and inspirational videos that you'll truly love. Join the millions of Christians from around the world who watch and share Godvine videos each day. They know that Godvine videos are specially chosen to bring joy and share the love of God and the wonder of His creations. For the very best Christian videos, visit us today at Godvine.com.
The Don Kroah Show on WAVA. A couple of more minutes with Kyle Scheidler of the Center for Security Policy. And Kyle, if you would talk about where to from here. Is this really a major victory for the cultural Marxists that we see growing among us? And what do you suspect is going to come out of this longer term, I guess, is what I'm asking.
I'm certainly concerned about it. You know, we have the advancement, the very rapid advancement of censorship on social media and the internet. All of these things that took place over a period of several days, immediately following the banning of President Trump, then the deplatforming of the Parler social media app. All of these things took place rapidly because, in my view, they were pre-planned. They were always a desired outcome. And so when this crisis took place, they did not let a crisis go to waste, and they very rapidly choked off alternative views and alternative platforms. So that's very concerning. I think also concerning is the push to use international terrorism statutes and standards against protesters. We see this in the call to utilize the no-fly list against members of people who attended the Trump rally on Wednesday. So that is very concerning as well. It just doesn't it doesn't add up. You know, there's no solid evidence of, you know, Trump supporters, even if you might consider them extremist, you know, targeting aircraft, which is why we have a no-fly list, because primarily for banning international jihadist terrorists who are known to take airplanes for either hostage situations or to crash them into buildings. Like, that's why we have a no-fly list. So exploiting that piece of statute, that piece of law, in order to punish your political opponents, to me, is deeply disturbing. You also have the move to cancel, to have private corporations and businesses cancel individuals who utilize their First Amendment rights to participate in a rally. We're talking about people where there's no accusation that they committed any crime at all, only that they attended a rally to hear the President of the United States speak. And these people are losing their jobs. It's most disturbing.
It really is. It's very frightening. There are those who say, well, is this it for conservative voices? 30 seconds. Do you think we've lost our voice as a movement, or will alternatives really be created that may in the end be even better?
I think at the end of the day, there has to be new alternatives, but it has to be they have to be alternatives that we have thought deeply about, that we have built from the ground up to prevent from being deplatformed again. Until we do that, we're going to be vulnerable to this kind of suppression of free speech.
Enjoyed talking with you. I hope we can do it again, Kyle. Thank you.
Thank you.
Kyle Scheidler, again, director and senior analyst for the Homeland Security and Counterterrorism areas with the Center for Security Policy. And that's their website, centerforsecuritypolicy.org.
Hear 105.1 FM WAVA wherever you are on our mobile app or on iHeart, TuneIn, and now on radio.com.
Hey, this is Norm with A-Action Home Services, reminding you to set up your $69 heating system maintenance visit. Call us at 703-922-1900.
Lives change here. You're listening to 105.1 FM, WAVA-FM, and HD1 Arlington. Life changing.